Father, we thank you tonight for all the wonderful things that you're doing at Calvary. And we thank you, Lord, for the servants stepping out tonight. Those who are not serving, stepping out, Lord, and being involved in this fellowship and helping. Many hands, Lord, oh, how we need those. They make for a light load. And Father, tonight we just love you and praise you for the wonderful Thanksgiving that's just passed and now the Christmas season that we're looking forward to, Lord, and the end of the year that's so quickly approaching. Father, tonight, I don't know, but surely there must be a way that you can visit us in such a special way to where our hearts would be filled with the awe and the reverence and the fear of God. And that, Lord, that even like you did in the time of Wesley when he was teaching and Finney and all the rest of them, that holy fear that just comes upon your people, Lord. Oh, God, we need that revival again. And, Father, for tonight, I don't know the needs of your people, but I know that you know each and everything that they need and that they desire. I know you know they're rising up and they're lying down, Lord. You don't miss one thing in their lives. And, oh, how you care. I pray that you tend to them tonight and help them in any area that they're hurting in or needing wisdom or direction, whatever it might be, Lord. And that, Lord, you'd help me to teach your word faithfully, accurately. And we pray, Lord, for a divine visitation. We just love you now and we praise you tonight. In Jesus' name, and the church says, amen. Amen. Let's turn our Bibles to the book of Joshua, the Old Testament. We're going to be in chapter 13. Matter of fact, we're going to go through three chapters tonight, but not verse by verse and so forth. But, you know, tonight I want to talk to you about inheritance. Oh, inheritance is, it is a beautiful, beautiful word. And, you know, the children of Israel, there they are, you know, 400 years in slavery in Egypt, and then the four decades of wandering in the wilderness because of the disobedience of the people. And then finally, year after year after fighting, the land of Canaan becomes the land of Israel. They inherit the land. God gives them the land and so forth. So tonight, as we look in chapter 13 of Joshua, let's study the word inheritance out here. It says in verse 1, it says, now Joshua was old, advanced in years, and the Lord said to him, Joshua, you're old, advanced in years, and there remains very much land to be possessed. And this is the land that yet remains. And you can read that later or whenever in verses 2 through 6 there. But, you know, before Joshua is able, and he's actually, we're rushing through now because he's really wanting to give his farewell address there in chapter 24 and so forth. But, you know, before he does that, God says, you know what, Joshua, you're old and your fighting days have now, they've come to an end and I have another job for you. I want you to distribute the land, the inheritance of the children of Israel to all of the tribes. So look there at verse 6. God tells him, he says, and all the inhabitants of the mountains of Lebanon, as far as the brook Amisrapus and the Sidonians, then I will drive out from before you the children of Israel, only divide it by lot to Israel as an inheritance. Say that word with me, inheritance. And God says, as I've already commanded you. So he's saying, listen, Joshua, this is your only duty now, and you must divide the land out. Now, therefore, divide this land as, there's that word again, an inheritance to the 9 tribes and half the tribe of Manasseh. So if you looked up in your concordance or whatnot, you'd find that the word inheritance is used 61 times in the book of Joshua, and it's used 313 times in the entire Bible. Inheritance, oh, it is a beautiful word. It is a wonderful, wonderful word. You see, the Jews, they didn't really win the land of Canaan. They didn't even really earn the land of Canaan. And matter of fact, they didn't even purchase the land. God gave it to them. Amen? The battle was the Lord's, and the battle God enabled them to take all of the land. And besides that, the land actually belongs to the Lord. It says in Leviticus 25:23, the land, talking about the land of Canaan, it says it'll not be sold permanently, for the land is mine, God says. And listen to what he says now about Israel. For you are strangers and sojourners with me, meaning in the land of Canaan. God says, you know, the truth is I own the land. You're renting from me in a sense. And you know what? You're my guest and you're going to stay in the land. You're going to enjoy the fruit of the land. You're going to enjoy the wells that you didn't dig, the houses that you did not build. You're going to enjoy all of the things of the land as long as you obey me. As long as you don't do things contrary to the covenant that has been made. Remember the blessings and the cursings? God says, no, that's how you're going to stay in the land. So the dividing of the land really is pretty much self-explanatory. And so you can read through there later if you like and study all that out. But I want you to look at verse 14. It says, only to the tribe of Levi he had given no inheritance. In other words, no land as a possession. But the sacrifices of the Lord God of Israel made by fire are their inheritance, as he said to them. So they were allotted the sacrifices. Remember when we studied out all the way back in Numbers chapter 35, I believe it is, verses 1 through 8. We studied out all about the Levites and how God had selected them and so forth. And they were, the tribe of Levi, completely set apart unto the Lord. And God was literally their inheritance. Oh, what a blessing that is. Amen. And so they worked there in the tabernacle, and they did so, the Bible teaches us, in the prime of their life. They could only start working in the tabernacle when they were 25 years of age, and they had to cease from any labor in the tabernacle proper at the age of 50. So they were able to work there for 25 years, giving God their absolute best. And so the other tribes were to provide cities, remember, for the Levites. So they could, when they were not serving, they could go into these cities, and they would have, actually there were 48 cities, and they would go into these cities, and there would be pasture land provided for them, for their flocks and their herds and so forth. And when we get to Joshua chapter 21, we'll find out the list of those cities and so forth. Now, let's look in chapter 14. The land now is divided west of the Jordan, but I want to focus on verse 6 tonight. It says, then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal. And Judah, remember, now that was the largest of all the tribes, the most prominent. And they came to Joshua, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, you know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. So Caleb comes up and starts talking with Joshua. Joshua and Caleb were one of the two faithful spies that of the 12 that spied out the promised land and came back and gave the good report unto Moses and so forth. Now, Caleb is going to be the very first one to receive his inheritance. Joshua, he'll be the very last one. And so, you know, you look at this and you say, oh, what a great man. He's coming up and he's talking with his old friend. I mean, they were both there together all this time, and a great warrior. And, you know, I don't understand why anyone would name, and I don't mean this against if you've named your child Caleb, okay? I don't mean any disrespect there at all. But I don't know what Caleb would mean today, but it's a beautiful name. Let's put it that way. I'm getting myself, make sure I'm out of trouble. But you know, I'm puzzled why anyone in the Hebrew language would call their son dog, because that's what Caleb means. And so I'm saying, well, I don't know why. Was he not wanted, or was he ferocious like a dog or something? You know, did he chew a bone as a child? I don't know what it was. And you know, you have to wonder yourself about that. But the thing is, whatever it was, it doesn't matter. Caleb is a great name. It is. And it signifies a great man. Amen. And so look at verse 7. He continues his speech to Joshua. He says, you know, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. You know, remember now Caleb, Joshua, and 10 more, they were sent out to spy out all the land of Canaan, all the way back in Numbers 13 and 14, okay? And Caleb came back and he told him what was in his heart. Matter of fact, it tells us in Numbers 13:30, it says when Caleb came back, he quieted the people before Moses and said to them, oh, listen, let us go up right now. Let us take possession immediately, for we are well able to overcome it. And it also in Numbers 14:6, it says, and Joshua and Caleb, who were among those who spied out the land, they tore their clothes, and they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land that we passed through to spy out is exceedingly good land. And if the Lord delights in us, he'll bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. only do not rebel against the Lord. Don't fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear. Is that a great report? That is a great report. And you remember what the children of Israel did when Joshua and Caleb gave them that report. It says that they rose up all the congregation of Israel and they were going to stone them. They were going to kill them. Why? Because they had lied? No. Because they committed adultery? No. Because they told the truth. Do you know the truth is never very popular? Isn't that true? The truth is not popular. People, there's a lot that just, they hate the truth. Can you imagine standing before all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness, 11 miles down the road is the promised land, and we only have two people that believe God and believe that they can take it. You know, Caleb refused to go along with the majority, 2 million people maybe. He refused to let them define his destiny. Don't ever let anybody define your destiny but God. Amen? And I look at that and I say, oh, Lord, you're so good. Look at verse 8 now. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me, they made the heart of the people melt. In other words, they sapped all the courage out of their heart. The people gave the terrible report. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. So Moses swore on that day, surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your what? Inheritance and your children's inheritance, if I'll put that in there, and how long? Forever. Because the reason you have wholly followed the Lord my God. You know that is spoken six times of this man, Caleb? You know that all the rest of the children of Israel, except for those two, Joshua and Caleb, what did they do? They died in the wilderness because they rebelled against the Lord, because they were unbelieving. There were the giants frightened them and said that, you know, we look like a bunch of grasshoppers and so forth. But you know what? Caleb, he didn't minimize that. He didn't say, you know, walk in denial and say, you know what? Yes, there's fortified cities and there are giants in the land. Yeah, they're all there. That's right. He didn't minimize that. But what did he do? He did the same thing that we must do today in our generation. He magnified God. God is bigger than any giant, any problem that we face in this life. Amen? No, you know, isn't it easy to say amen or, you know, glory to God or whatever to that? But the question is, do you really believe it? That God is bigger than anything you're ever going to face in your life, any time in your life? And you know what? That is what separates the boys from the girls. Amen? I don't know if that works right, but it sounded all right. No, that is so important, you know. I mean, we're not here just for a Bible study tonight, are we? Aren't we here to believe God's word? You know what? You know why Caleb's heart didn't melt? All the other people's heart, it melted, but not his. Meaning they didn't have any courage. Why was Caleb's heart full of faith and full of courage? It says because he wholly followed the Lord. Man, and I think about all the bad days he had to have had there, 40 years in the wilderness, for something he didn't even do. Oh, man. Look at verse 10. And now, behold, the Lord, I love this, the Lord has kept me alive. In other words, I've done more than survive, man. I'm thriving. And look what he says. He said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now here I am this day, 85 years old. You know what? When I'm 85, if I make it that far, I'm going to preach this sermon from this pulpit on this text. Amen. Amen. It says, here I am, I'm 85 years old. And watch what he says. And yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength. And look what it's for. For what? For war. Both for going out and for coming in. Now look what he says. This is incredible. This 85-year-old man of God. He says, now therefore, he's speaking to Joshua. He says, now therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spake in that day. For you heard in that day how Anakim was there. meaning the giants, the ones who terrified the other 10 spies. He says that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me and I'll be able to drive them out as the Lord has said. In other words, here he is. Now listen, he's 85 years old and he's in his last days. And what does he request? All I need is my lazy boy, my remote control, and maybe a garden to go out, you know, and chase the bugs off the tomatoes or something. You understand? Is that what he said? No, you know what he said? He said, I want that mountain. I'm 85 years old and I still have another mountain I want to climb. I still want to take it. I want to take it right now. And matter of fact, here's the mountain I want. I want the mountain where the Anakim, the giants are. You know what? The ones that scared all those other sissies to death. I want that mountain, Joshua. I want to go up there. I want to go to the place where those fear landed in the hearts of those other spies, and I want to take it. I'm going to tell you, there's something to be said about a man of faith or a woman of faith. You see, Caleb said, the Lord is with me. He had faith in the presence of God. He had faith in the power of God. And he had faith in the purpose and plan of God. And that's where our faith should lie tonight. Lord, whatever it is that you want, not my will, but thy will be done. That's what we need to do tonight. Listen, I believe with all of my heart that every Christian can build their entire life upon the promises of God. Can you imagine living for 45 years on just one promise of the Lord? That's what Caleb did. 45 years. He believed this one promise from God that he would not die like the others died in the wilderness, but he would return to the land that he had spied out and receive his inheritance. That's from Numbers 14. What did he do? He hid in his heart faith. The word of God, he hid it right there in his heart. And he waited 45 years for that promise to come to pass. Someone said this, our future is as bright as the promises of God. Do you believe that tonight? That's very important because you know what Caleb did? He measured time the way God measures time, not the way we would measure time. He just trusted the Lord. And I think the reason that so many times we get off track, we get out of God's will. We go off on a rabbit trail, or we thought we were supposed to do this, but we weren't supposed to do this, or we walk in presumptuous faith or whatnot. The reason is because we're so impatient. You know, waiting on the Lord is not a bad thing. Amen? I mean, why? If God's not telling you to get up and do something, don't do it. If God, do you understand? I'm talking about the unknown will of God. Man, if you don't, we miss so much by simply giving up. What do we wait on? We pray and we wait maybe a week for something. Well, it didn't happen. We grow so weary about it all. Listen, he went through 45 years, 40 years of toil. There in the wilderness, now the war that was going or that has been going on, and he's 85 years old. And here's what I find about Caleb. I don't find any regrets in his life. I don't find him complaining about anything. All I find about this man is that he wholly followed the Lord. Whenever you are in the wilderness, wandering in circles, you know what sustained him? Just one promise. All those days he kept focusing. He didn't look at all the problems that were happening there in the wilderness. He just kept focusing on that one promise that God promised him. God cannot lie. Amen. And that's what he did. You see, it says there, look at verse 13. And Joshua, look what he did now. He blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb as a what? Inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb to this day because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron, formerly as Kirjath, that means a city of, by the way, the city of Arba. Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim. Remember, the Anakim means the long necks or the giants, the nation of giants there. Then the land had rest from war. He waited 45 years for this promise to come to pass. I know that we who have a better covenant based on better promises can wait on any promise that God has provided. What if we only had one promise to believe? Just one. In other words, just one thing that God has given us. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Amen? Just that one promise. And that it just, and we say, it's in my heart. It's in my mind. It's more than head knowledge. It's heart knowledge. It is rhema. It's living. And I tell you, Lord, I know I can do whatever I'm going to face in this life. I know I can do it through your strength. Jesus told us in Matthew 7:24, he said, you can build your life right. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, hears and does them, I will liken him to a wise man that built his house upon the rock. And yes, all the storms of life, it came, but that house didn't fall. We don't want to be the foolish man, do we? We want to be the wise man and do what God says in his word. And it's interesting that he goes over and he talks about Hebron. You know, that's just not a coincidence that he gave Hebron to Caleb. At the very south end of Hebron, you know what was there? The Valley of Eshcol. You remember where that what that was, that valley? The Eshcol means not great, but means cluster. Let me read it to you here and tell you why it's so important. In Numbers 13:23, and when they, meaning the 12 spies, and Caleb and Joshua were one of two of them, came to the valley of Eshcol, and there they cut down a branch with one cluster of grapes. Can you imagine how heavy that was? And they carried it on between them on a pole, and they also brought some of the pomegranates and the figs. And the place was called the Valley of Eshcol because of the cluster which the men of Israel cut down. And they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. You know what God did? God fulfilled his promise to the very T. 45 years ago in our text, okay, God promised Caleb. He said, you know, you're of a different spirit. You've wholly followed the Lord. And he said, the very land that you spied out, that your feet had touched, I'm going to give you that land. Can you imagine Caleb going up to the place after 45 years? He had spied it out. He returned with such faith in his heart, only to see the children of Israel weep and cry and say, let us go back to Egypt. And there he goes up and he's going to take what he wanted in the very first place. Now listen, he inherited Hebron, but he had to fight for it. Do you understand? We have to fight for what God has given us. We're in a war here too as well. We have to put on the armor of God each and every day. Do you know that Caleb was the only one to claim his entire inheritance? He was the only one to drive all of the enemies of the land out of his area. Only Caleb did that. The others, they did not. And I say, oh, Lord, what a great man. What an example we need to follow. Look there, chapter 15 with me, and drop down to verse 13, I believe. Yes, verse 13. Now watch this. And now to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he gave, you notice I pronounce that word different each time I say it. I just want to see if you caught that. Okay. He gave a share among the children of Judah according to the commandment of the Lord to Joshua, namely Kirjath Arba, which is Hebron. Arba was the father of Anak. Remember the giants, okay? And now Caleb drove out the three sons of Anak, the giants, from there. And the first one was called Noble. That's what that word means in Hebrew. And the next one was My Brother is a Gift. And the next one was Furrowed, the children of Anak. That's what those Hebrew words mean. Now watch this. Then Caleb went up from there. Literally, it means went up there to battle the inhabitants of Debir, following the name of Debir, Kirjath Sefer, which means the city of the brook. And Caleb said, he who attacks the city of the brook and takes it, to him I will give Achish, my daughter, as a wife. Now look what he did. He had already received his inheritance, and now he does something else. He enlarges his inheritance. You know, when I think about how in Ephesians 1:3 that blessed be the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who had blessed us with all the spiritual blessings which in heavenly places which are in Christ Jesus our Lord. Listen, how do we, they belong to us, but we do we ever take them all? So we settle, I think, for so little sometimes in our life. When, you know, God's word is so true. And so he says, no, I'm gonna enlarge it. Why is that? Because Caleb said, you know, I'm 85, but I'm not over the hill. I still have a lot of living that I want to do. He was a faithful warrior. Now look at verse 17. So he took all that area, he enlarged his inheritance, and it says, and so Othniel, the son of Kenaz, now that would be Caleb's nephew, okay? When we get to the book of Judges, you'll remember that Othniel is one of the ones that God raises up as a judge there, and I believe it's in chapter 3. It says, and Caleb, he took it, and he gave it to Achash, his daughter, as a wife, in other words, as a reward. And now it was so that when he came to him, I'm sorry, when she came to him, meaning she came to her new husband, that she persuaded him to ask her father, which is Caleb, for a field. So she dismounted from her donkey, and Caleb said to her, "What do you wish?" And she answered, "Give me a blessing. Give me a blessing. Since you have given me land in the south, give me also springs of water." So he gave her the upper springs and the lower springs. Now, I don't understand all of that. Did he give her, he gave her the land. Maybe the land didn't have the water that she needed, and now she wanted this so she could irrigate the land. We're not told. We don't really need to know. But what we need to see is that there was a woman of faith. Amen. And I'm going, man, listen, because Caleb wholly followed the Lord, he was able to bless his only daughter, his child, to bless her. But the thing that we need to see, it wasn't just with the land or with now you have water. That's great, but that wasn't it. You see, there was a greater inheritance. And you know what it was? The same thing that we see tonight in Caleb, it was his example. Is there anything better than having someone in your family, your father, your mother, your grandfather, whoever it might be, your brother, sister, whoever it is, a friend, someone that you look and say that she or he has great faith. And I want to imitate that great faith. I want to learn and to trust like he trusts. That's exactly what this woman received from her father. That was the greatest inheritance that she could ever receive. Romans 1:17 says, "The just shall live by faith." Now that tells me something. It tells me that seniors, okay, I'm a senior, all right, seniors should be examples to the younger people. Amen? That's exactly what I see here. And show the young people how to wholly follow the Lord. Did you know that whenever we have seniors in the church, older people, older women that are really turned on to the Lord and following the Lord, do you know that is a sign or one of the signs of a healthy church? It's when our older, the seniors, are full of the faith of God and trusting the Lord. It says in Titus 2:2, it says, for talking about the signs of a healthy church, it says that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate. Here it is, sound in faith. Just like Caleb, sound, or the word sound means healthy. Healthy in faith. Healthy in love and patience, and the older women likewise, that they be reverent in their behavior. In other words, live in a way that honors God. And that not slanderers, not gossipers, you know, or gossip about people, or listening to gossip, or spreading it. Not given to much wine. Teachers of good things, or literally that word means teachers of beautiful things. A faith that is healthy. Older seniors should set the example to trust in God. Wouldn't you say? You know, sometimes people get mad at me, young people. They say, you know, just trust God. Just trust God. Yes. Well, don't you have anything more than that? No. Just trust God. Well, what does that mean? Trust God. Well, I mean, isn't there a little bit more built? No, just trust God. Slow down. Be patient. Trust God. Just trust the Lord. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Amen. You know, listen, that's what it's all about. Well, but you don't know my day. No, you trust God no matter what the day holds. You know, we should, when we get older, after we've walked with the Lord many, many years, we should have no fear of death. Do you understand? I mean, no fear of death, because we are beyond that. We know so much that the moment that we close our eyes, no matter what happens to us, we're there. We're with him right that moment. And it's not that we can quote it. It's that we know it in our hearts. We know that God will never, ever, ever, no matter what we're facing, He will never let us down. We may accuse Him of that, but He'll never let us down. Never. God has never let me down. So older people, it says, man, you know, you're to be healthy in faith. And not only healthy in faith, but healthy in love. You know, when we get older seniors, listen, we should know with all of our heart that the great commandment to love the Lord thy God with all of our heart, soul, strength, and our neighbor is ourself, that it's not a suggestion. It's not even an option. It is a commandment that's embraced our hearts and how we desire not only to show our love toward God, but our love toward our fellow men. It's so easy when we get old to get hardened, set in our ways. It's so easy to become an old wineskin. I'll never forget when we were building the design for the children's church. I mean, the kids' wing. I visited several places and so forth. And then I realized what an old wineskin I'd become. I realized that, you know, this generation of kids, you know, I said, well, open up your Bible and, you know, put a Joseph on a coat of many colors, put him on the flannel graph and tell him to draw or something. That's not what kids do anymore. Do you understand? We've changed our culture. We've got to identify not watering down God's word, but we've got to embrace the technology or whatever is needed to bring the word of God to their hearts. And I remember when we put that playscape in, and I was over at this big church in Dallas. I was someplace over there, and hard to believe I left the promised land for Dallas. But and I was looking at they had a playscape and a rock climbing wall, and they had, I mean, it was huge. And so I asked this guy, I said, what is that for? He said, I said, I've never seen an indoor, I had never seen an indoor playground like that. And he said, that's bait. I said, what? He said, that's bait. He said, that helps the kids keep coming and inviting their friends so we can lead them to Jesus Christ. And I said to myself, I walked out and I repented because I said, Lord, I've gotten old. I've become an old wineskin. Oh, Lord, I want new wine poured in. I want to be so soft and so pliable. Listen, when we get older, we need to embrace those things. Amen. We need to say, Lord, what? Do a new thing, it may be a new thing, but it's still the same God. New methods, but it's still the same Word of God. Amen. We need to know those things. You know, when you get older, and we should know it when we're younger, is that the love of God is so important for our lives. You know, we know that love bears all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And we know that love never fails. And when we know that, we then can be an example for our younger people and set them on the right way. Listen, inheritance is more than just, okay, God giving them the land and God setting the boundaries of their land through the casting of lots or whatnot. It's much more than that. You know, when we start thinking about what that really means, King David and Jeremiah the prophet, they tell us both that, you know, that God himself is the real inheritance. Amen. Listen to what David said in Psalm 16:5. He says, O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance. That's something. He says, and you're my cup. You maintain my lot. Jeremiah 10:16 says, the portion of Jacob, or literally the all-sufficient God, is not like them, meaning these false idols. For he's the maker of all things, and Israel is the tribe of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. I'm going to ask you a question. Now, I have never, ever received an inheritance from anyone in my entire life. Never. And, you know, properties or this, never. And I don't expect to either. But listen, you know, nothing in this world, nothing that this world can offer as an inheritance can compare with God himself. See, God is our Father. We are his inheritance. He is our inheritance. Do you see what I'm saying? I think, oh God, you're so good. See, we dwell in God, possessing him. God dwells in us, possessing us. And here's what's so wonderful about that, is that what God has, God preserves. Amen? Turn in your Bibles. Let's make a quick application. Turn in your Bibles to the New Testament book of Ephesians and look with me at chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Let's make an application on this now. Talking about our inheritance. What a beautiful word that is. It says there in verse 3, quickly, one that I just quoted, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, that's a past fact and a present reality, who has blessed us, that's all of us here, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And then it goes through and look at our inheritance. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world. He, having predestination, predestined us to the adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. We're no longer slaves, amen? We've been bought at a price. We're a purchased possession. And then we go through and look, watch this now, and look at verse 11 here with me. It says, in him also we have obtained, and what? Inheritance. We are either made his inheritance or we're not. It's either true or false. We are in his inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be the praise of his glory. Now listen, Jesus has redeemed us through his blood. Jesus has purchased us with his own blood. Acts 20:28, purchased the church. And it says he's also made us his inheritance. Does it ever get better than that? We are his people. We are the bride of Christ. We are the church. Our inheritance is in Christ, and Christ is in us. Now listen very carefully. Are we joint heirs with Christ? Can you imagine what he is going to get? He's going to share that with each and every one of us. And if we are joint heirs with Christ, and we are, listen carefully now, it means that Jesus cannot claim his inheritance apart from us. He can't do that. Are you following me? God can't lie, because we are co-heirs with him. All that God the Father is going to give Jesus the Son, Jesus is going to share with us. What a day that is going to be. Look at verse 13. And in him, meaning in Jesus, you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. That's the good news. Jesus, you know, died, was buried for our sins and so forth. In whom also having believed, or when you believed, you were. Listen, that's a present fact and a present reality. The moment you came to Jesus, you were what? Sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, watch this, who is the guarantee of our inheritance. How long? Until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. The seal is the Holy Spirit. You know that the seal denotes security. It denotes ownership. It means this, that God knows who belongs to him. The Bible tells us there in 2 Timothy 2:19, nevertheless, a solid foundation of God stands, having this seal, the Lord knows those who are his. We are, if we're born from above and Jesus truly lives in our heart, we are, I believe, eternally secure unless there is someone stronger than God who can remove the seal. No one can take the Holy Spirit from me. I'm sealed. How long are we sealed? Until the day of redemption. That means at the moment we go home. Listen, I don't know about you, but that is a great inheritance. Amen. God's not going to lose us. Look at it again. It says in verse 14, the Holy Spirit, who, that means the Holy Spirit, is the guarantee, the down payment, the pledge, whatever you want to call it, our engagement ring, the first installment. It doesn't really matter. The guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. It says in Philippians 1:6, He who began a good work in you will complete it until when? The day of Christ. All the way until he comes for us. Until we get to be home with heaven. So the Holy Spirit is that guarantee. It's our down payment, if you will. The earnest money. However you want to look at it. That God will not only, that he's not only saved us, but he's going to work in us. And he's going to finish what he started. And he's going to bring us all the way through to glory. And I look at that and I say, oh Lord, I know that my and your inheritance is not full yet. It's not fully yet because it's still future. But until we reach heaven, we're secure. You know, justification, remember, justification is past tense. That's a one-time act. That's the moment that you come to the Lord and you say, Jesus, be my Lord, come into my heart. And at that very moment, God, a judicial decision is made. It's not a feeling, it's a fact, where God declares the believing sinner as if he had never sinned. And you are put into your account, imputed into your account, the perfect, spotless, righteous, sinless record of Jesus Christ. Boy, what an inheritance, amen? Now, that's past tense, but then there's sanctification. That is present tense. Sanctification is the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer, bringing us daily and yearly and year after year into Christ's likeness because we're being conformed into his very image. Amen? But then there's another one. It's future tense, and that is glorification. That is the day that when all of a sudden this stinking, rotten body that is falling apart, of course Caleb's didn't, but you know what I mean, and all of a sudden we're home with the Lord. I mean, we have those brand new bodies, and we're going to be with the Lord forever and ever and ever and ever. Oh, what a glorious inheritance we have. What a beautiful word that really is. Listen, heaven is our home. We have no home here, loved one. Amen. We're passing through. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. And we'll close with a couple of scriptures here, but let's just look at something. Peter there in the first epistle of Peter chapter 1. He's writing to the pilgrims and so forth that are sojourning there in life. And that's what we are. We're pilgrims. And look down at verse 3. Watch this now. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again. In other words, we're born again. Watch this now. To a what kind of hope? Amen. Living hope. Not just a hope, but a living hope. How? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Listen, Jesus is not in the grave, and our living hope that we have been given and that we have, Jesus Christ in me, the hope of glory. Listen, our living hope doesn't end when we die. It goes on forever and ever and ever. Look at verse 4. It says, to a what? There's that word. Inheritance. Oh, look at this inheritance that we have. It says incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away. And look at this, reserved in heaven for whom? For us. It's right now, right this very minute, this inheritance that we have. Listen, it's waiting for us right this minute. It's promised and it's already bestowed according to this word. Secure in heaven. Why is that? Well, because our inheritance, number one, it says, is incorruptible, can never perish. Does it get any better than that? Our inheritance, what a beautiful word. I mean, it's waiting for us. It's waiting right now. I look at that and I get emotional. I can't help it. It says it's undefiled. It's beyond the reach of any evil. Nothing can taint it. Nothing can soil it. Nothing can make it dirty. It's pure. It's lovely. And it doesn't fade away. What does that mean? It never grows old. It's forever and ever and ever. And look what it says. It is reserved in heaven for you. Reserve means guarded by God. Oh, what an inheritance we have. Now watch this in verse 5. Who are kept, That word means to be shielded or guarded. Who are kept how? By the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed when? In the last time. That's the final step. That's when we're home. That's when we step into heaven. That's the ultimate salvation. That's our new bodies. The word kept there again is shielded and guarded. It's one of the most beautiful words in Scripture. Do you think God can keep you? Well, I'm going to come to you, and if you save me, can you keep me saved? I mean, if I'm really saved, are you going to forget me, cast me out? Am I not going to make it? Yeah, I mean, you know, it's like God says, whoa, man, you got a problem. It says right here that we are kept by the power of God. The power of God. You're protected. Is there any greater power than God? Oh, what an inheritance we have. What a beautiful word. The same power that said, let there be light. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead. He says, no, you're kept by my power, son. You're kept by my power, daughter. My very power. See, kept means that we are constantly being guarded by God on every side. Is there anything greater than being guarded by God? What is he telling us then? God is giving us tonight, in our inheritance, he gives us an assurance. He says that you will safely arrive in heaven if you belong to me. You're going to safely get there. You're going to make it. And what is being guarded? Our salvation. Remember what Jesus said in John 10:27? He says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. And listen carefully. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. Never. As a promise from Jesus. They will never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Listen, God, look at our inheritance. God is so certain that we will be in heaven. He has already given us the assurance. Look at verse 6. In this. In what? In this inheritance. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Yeah, we're going to have trials until we go home. There's going to always be trials, ups and downs, heartaches. There's going to be many things that we don't even understand. But he says, you know what? He says, but in this inheritance that we have, you greatly rejoice. Are you greatly rejoicing in that? In the inheritance that we have? Look what he says, that the genuineness of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it's tested by fire, meaning our faith, may be found to the praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Caleb lived for 45 years on one promise from God. You're going to go back and you're going to walk on the land that you spied out, and I'm going to give it to you, and I'm going to give it to your descendants forever and ever and ever. Boy, I think, oh God, you know how we need to be men and women of faith and say, Lord, I'll survive on one promise, but we have thousands of promises. Amen. You know, and they're all yes in Christ Jesus. Let's finish up with verse 8. It says, talking about Jesus, our Lord, it says, whom having not seen, I love this, you love. Though now you don't see him, but yet believing. Look at this now. You rejoice with joy. That literally means joy that cannot even be contained. We're just shouting it out. And inexpressible, meaning that's only used here in the New Testament. It's like our language, we don't have the words to even express it in our language. And full of glory. Receiving, that's something that we've already received. Watch this now. Receiving the end of your faith. The end of your faith. The end of the divine plan of God for each of our lives. That's when we go home. The last thing. He says, the salvation of your what? Of your souls. What an inheritance. Incredible. What a beautiful word that is. You know, we love the Lord. I've never seen the Lord. Have you? I haven't seen him. But I love him. You know why we don't walk by sight anyway, but why do we know that we love the Lord? How do we know that we love the Lord? Romans 5:5. And this hope does not disappoint. But the love of God has been shed abroad or poured out into our hearts. The love of God is right there, right this minute, by the Holy Spirit, which has been given unto us. And what is the Holy Spirit? He is the seal. He's the down payment. He's the first installment. He's the first taste of heaven. Amen? And I say, oh God, you're so good. Listen, to love Jesus and experience Jesus is not only a fact, it is an experience. And I say, oh Lord. You know, when you are in the overcomer, which is Jesus, you know what's going to happen? Here's what's going to happen in our future, folks. This is going to be incredible. It says in Revelation 21:7, he that overcomes, again, you have to be in the overcomer to overcome. Here it is. Shall inherit all things. I don't know what that means, but it means we're going to have it all. Amen. And listen to what it says. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. He shall be my daughter. What a glorious inheritance we have. Let us not be weak in our faith. Let us be strong in faith. Amen. We have all the faith that it's been given to us by the Lord. He's given every person a measure, the measure of faith. Romans 12:3, it abides right here, right now. All we have to do is water our faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. Grow, and claim all the inheritance that God has for us here. And then when that's sufficient, then we'll be there. Amen. Father, we praise you in Jesus' name. We never want to be neglectful of all the great things that you've done for us, oh God. What a great inheritance we have. Oh Lord, we praise you for that. We rejoice over that, knowing that if we're in Christ, we're secure tonight. Nothing is ever going to take us away from you. Nothing is ever going to do that, Lord. We're secure in our Savior. We're secure. And Lord, we love you. We praise you. Pour out, Lord, increase our faith at this place. Help us to be faithful. Bless your people tonight. Meet every need that they may have. Whatever it is, Lord, be so real to them every moment in their life. Fill their homes with joy and peace and thanksgiving as we start closing out now, 2014. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Let's stand.